thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, welcome this morning to you all here. Welcome to those who are online on Zoom. We welcome you, and we are one family, we are one flock in God, and we listen for the voice of the shepherd of our soul, the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. So turn with me, if you will, again this morning to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we are on our fourth week. And this amazing psalm, truly astounding psalm, it reminds me so much of the Lord's Prayer. It is so condensed, so packed with truth and with richness. You know, it's like the Campbell's soup that you get condensed. It seems to me like Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer is like that. I look at these Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer, and I see Campbell's written on it. It's just so rich. So Psalm 23, and the first week we looked at the connected life. The connected life as a contented life, verse 1. The connected life is a consistent life, verses 2 and 3. The third week, we looked at the connected life as a comforted life, verse 4. And this week, we will be looking at the connected life is a confident life in verse 5. And next week, God willing, we will conclude with the connected life is a continuous life in verse 6. So Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. I shall not be in constant need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. The connected life, folks, and that's what Rhonda was saying this morning, the reading of the Word of God, engaging with the Word of God. To engage with God in His Word is to be connected to him and with him, by him. The connected life is a confident life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. When we come to this verse, verse 5 in Psalm 23, I believe that we are looking at the very essence of this psalm. It's the high point. It's the goal of everything that has gone on before. The very essence of it all. To be empowered to live in a hostile world in the presence of the enemy and yet with confidence in God. John 16:33, the second part of the verse, Jesus says this, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So three things this morning from verse 5, fellowship, favor, and fullness. Fellowship with God, the table that he prepares for us, favor, the favor of God, the anointing that he gives, and the fullness of God, the overflowing cup. And just to let you know at the start, we will be spending a lot of time on the fellowship with God aspect, so it is not equally divided into three portions this morning to allay any fears. Fellowship with God, the table. You, Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I think we just have to just pause here just a second. You prepare a what? Where? Lord, what are you preparing for me? And where is it? You're preparing a table in the presence of my enemies? Let me reason this out. Let me think this logically out. Wouldn't it be better to say, you prepare weapons for me? Wouldn't it be better to say, Lord, instead of preparing a table, could you prepare a tank for me in the presence of my enemies? Or prepare an army or a fort or some kind of defense before me in the presence of my enemies? But no. You see, because that's not where the focus is. And that's not where God wants us to have the focus, on the enemy, but on him. Our eyes are to be on our shepherd, not on our enemies. Yes, they are there. He prepares a table in the presence, and they're there. But we're not to be caught up with them and with him, the enemy of our soul. The Bible, in this context, and in various other contexts, the table has much, much more to do with fellowship than it has to do with food. Now, if you're a teenager, you just don't understand that, and you don't believe it, and you never will. Food is food, and you want lots of it, and you just want to just get it, stuff it down your face as fast and as full as you possibly can, and off you jump from the table away to do your thing. But no, the whole thing, the whole context of the table in the Bible is about fellowship. It's about connecting. It's about resting. It's about communicating with the shepherd of our souls. Table time is precious. It's precious time spent together. Listen to this verse in Revelation 3:20. Famous verse. But have you ever wondered about the last part? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Or if you got the authorized version, we will sup together. So you ever wondered about that? I stand at the door and knock, and if he opens, I'll come in and just sit down and eat. What does that mean? It means that there is a deep, intimate, relational connection with God. And that's what he longs for, and that's what Christ died for. Knocking at the door of our hearts. For what? For fellowship, for communication, for relational, intimate connection with the lover of our souls. Have you noticed that everything, absolutely everything in Psalm 23 flows from the very first verse? If there's no verse one, there's nothing else. If there's no personal connection with the shepherd, there is nothing else. There can be nothing else. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you know what? David could have put a full stop right there. Isn't that enough? Is that not enough for us? That's a psalm in itself. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Wow. That's enough. There's fullness right there. But what David does is he goes on to say and explain and show why that is so true. And that's where we get to verse 5. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. Who is this Lord? He is the great I Am. He is the everlasting God. He is the eternal King, the maker and ruler of everything. There is no enemy that can touch him. Honestly, people of God, waken up to the fact, the truth, the reality that God is Almighty God. He is a warrior. He is a shepherd. He is a conqueror. Nothing and no one can touch him and those that are his, except at by his will. So verse 1, everything flows from that. The Lord, the great I Am, the everlasting eternal King. That's who my shepherd is. Who's your shepherd? Is he really your shepherd? Or have you got some kind of figment of your imagination, a cardboard cutout of what you think God is like? That's never going to cut it. It's never going to cut it in real life. Only the God of the Scriptures and a sure and accurate personal revelation of the God of this book will carry you through life with confidence, no matter what comes your way. He is the only true and living God. He's my shepherd. Say that with me. He is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He knows me. He cares for me. He provides for me. He protects me. And he's preparing a place for me. And he's preparing me for a place. And he's doing that at all times, in every way. That's what the Good Shepherd is doing. And some of you may be asking, well, what's God doing? I don't know what God's doing in my life. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. I'm confused. I'm fearful. I don't know what God is up to. What's God doing in my life? That's what he's doing. He's caring for you. He's providing for you. He's protecting you. He's preparing a place for you. And he's preparing you for a place. He's always doing that. things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Well, everything's working for good. Yeah? Is that too simplistic? You don't want to believe that? It's true. And that will free us. Are you living in these days with confidence in God? Serious question. Are you living in these days with confidence in God? That God. This God. Or does fear and anxiety of the enemy rule your thoughts? Ruling you. Are you resting in God? Or are you restless? Are you at peace in God? Or are you in pieces? You know, the fact is this, folks, if we're honest, there are times when we do feel restless, fearful, anxious, and agitated. We just do. There are times when the presence of the enemy is more real than the presence of the Lord. It's true. And simply saying to ourselves or to somebody else, stop worrying or don't be anxious, it's just not helpful. It's just not enough. I read this on the internet, so it must be true. Never in the history of calming down has anyone calmed down by being told to calm down. We are frail human beings. But these things, fear, anxiety, and all the rest of it, should never be allowed to settle upon us and to dominate us and to control us. Worry, fear, anxiety. You know, these things don't just go away. They have to be replaced. And these things are replaced where? By sitting down at the table that God has prepared for us. To feed upon his faithfulness, to nourish our hearts in his presence through his word and by his spirit, as he anoints our head with oil, and we find that there's more than enough in him, and our cup overflows. That's how it works. It's very simple. But you see, we make it so complex. And what's happening in the world, and this, and it's also very confusing, isn't it? There's nothing very confusing about an invitation to come for dinner, is there? Now, you might get an invitation to visit someone's house at a particular time. You ever had that and you think, I'm not sure we're going for food or not. Do you ever get that? You think, oh dear, should we eat? Should we just have enough in case we don't get something to eat? And they'd, or is it just us? We were invited somewhere, well, this was a few years ago, way back, invited to come, and I think, well, don't know, probably won't. We'll nip in past McDonald's. So we stuffed ourselves at McDonald's and we landed, and to our horror, the table was laden with food. So here's the thing. We just had to pretend that we didn't have anything. And just eat something. Squeeze in somewhere. And isn't that a picture for us? When we're feeding upon so much, it's spending so much time feeding on other things in other places. And when we come to God's word and when we come to gather together as God's people, we're just really not that hungry, to be honest. But I'll have a pick at this or a pick at that and at least make an effort. But really, I'm not that hungry. I've lost my appetite. I've been feeding on junk. We need to connect with the shepherd. We need to respond to his invitations to come and dine. How many meals has he prepared for us? And we've just never showed up. Or he's prepared a table for us in the midst of our enemies. And we've showed up and we've grabbed something and off we've ran. You see, it's more than getting a verse a day to keep the devil away. It's fellowship. It's connecting. It's listening. It's sharing. It's knowing this shepherd. Knowing how almighty, how generous, how bountiful he is. You remember the Queen of Sheba when she turned up? She'd heard a lot about Solomon, how magnificent all was. And she turned up in Jerusalem and she got invited to the banquet. And then she was blown away by it all. And the magnificence of the banquet. And even the servants had gold goblets with studded with precious jewels. It's like, wow. Look at the magnificence, the bounty of this. What does God spread before us? He doesn't just give us a little crumb or two to keep us interested. There's a feast, a continual feast in the presence of God if we have an appetite for it. You've heard of Dr. Doolittle. Yeah? And he talks to the animals and feeds them. And great film. We just happened to be at Butlins that year. And it was on. And I think I saw it about 100 times because there was not much else to do at Butlins. There's Rhonda. And you know what she managed to do this summer? She managed to get a robin redbreast to come and eat off of her hand, to land upon her hand and to feed. Brilliant. Got photos and everything. She's very proud. And even I got in on the act. It's great. It's amazing. And you think, oh, you're trying to coax this bird to come. And, oh, if the daft bird, if it would only come, it would get something to eat. And when I think about that, I always think about us and God. And I always think he's got so much to give us and feed us from his very hand. And yet we're so agitated. On the edge, looking, what's this? It's a trick. It's, where's the enemy? The enemy, he's out to get me. And Jesus loves me, this I know. And yeah, that's enough. Drop thy still dews of quietness. Till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of your peace. There are some who profess to be believers but are constantly fretful, agitated, on edge, looking over the shoulder, continually looking for the predator, always talking about how the devil is on their case. hearing the voice of the devil constantly, it seems, but never, seldom, if ever, hearing the voice of the shepherd. Sheep distracted by the possibility of an attack of a predator will not settle, will not eat, will not nourish itself, and will get weaker and weaker while consumed with worry. We must learn these days to trust the shepherd to prepare and to provide and to protect us. We must trust him enough to protect us against the enemy. He has got our back. He's got our front. He's got our sides. We must remember just who it is that is our shepherd, the Lord Yahweh, the great I Am, the eternal God, the everlasting God, the Almighty. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can he? See, that was a question that was asked by a people that were delivered out of slavery. They saw the awesome works of God. God delivered them from Egypt. The Almighty One, he brought them out as one nation. He brought them and he was going to lead them as a shepherd. But very soon they were hankering for the security of slavery. The security of slavery. And you see the question, can God prepare a table in the desert? Wasn't a question of faith. It was a question of doubt. It was actually saying, well, no, I don't think God can do that. And of course, all those who murmured in that way in the desert, died in the desert. Can God prepare a feast in a desert? Can he do that? Can God prepare a picnic in a pandemic? Can he prepare a feast for you? In the midst of your fears? Depends who your Lord is. Depends who your shepherd is. Depends who's leading you. Depends who you're listening to. Oh, there's fellowship with God at the table. There is the favor of God as he anoints our heads with oil. Oh, Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one. The anointing of the Spirit is God's favor. It is his Spirit that he puts upon our heads. And just like in Psalm 133, that oil runs down, touches our hearts, touches our clothing, and runs on out. There's more than enough. David was anointed by Samuel, chosen by God, favored by God, taken from the hills of Bethlehem to be the king, the shepherd king of Israel, anointed and appointed. That's who you are. Do you know that you are favored of your Father? No, really, do you know that your Father loves you? I mean, are you convinced to the very inner core of your being, as far and as deep as it can go? Are you convinced that your Father loves you? And if you're convinced, what does that do for you? Does it affect you? Does it change you? Does it give you confidence?
and the fullness of God. Here the enemy comes to steal and rob and to destroy, isn't he? That's what he's about. He's about taking from us. And that's our fear, isn't it? That's our fear. And the enemy whispers, I'm going to get you one day. You heard that one? I'm going to get you. Oh, where I grew up, when somebody said, I'm going to get you, man, you were looking every which way as you went to school. Banjo's after you. Banjo's a nickname, this guy just like, if Banjo was after you, he's going to get you. Boy. And the devil, like a roaring lion, he's not a roaring lion, he's like a roaring lion, hides behind a megaphone. He's a defeated foe. And he will whisper to you, I'm going to get you one day. You believe that? You believe that? If God's got you, nobody else is getting you. Nobody else is getting you. They're my sheep. They're in my hand. Nobody can snatch them from my hand. Nobody can snatch them from my Father's hand. You're his forever. The fullness of God. Oh, we live from hand to mouth because we're so distracted, so fearful, so anxious that we don't make time to sit down at the table that he has prepared for us. And so our spiritual lives were malnourished and we don't have enough to give to anybody else. We've just got enough to survive, to get everything we can and can everything we get. But you see, someone who is connected with God and his fellowship with God knows that they are under the favor of God. There is a fullness, there's a generosity, there's an open-handedness, there's an open-heartedness. And you know what? Whatever I have, I'll give to you. Whatever I have, I'll give to you. Because there's a fullness in God. The lack we fear is because of the enemy, and we think that he can do it. He can walk into our lives and he can do whatever he likes. Well, he can't. And there's an overflow from a life that is confident in God. There's a generosity of heart, an open-hearted, open-handed life that is a life that is confident in the living God. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:34. Fear not, little flock. Don't fear. Your Father is abundantly generous. He has given you his Son, and along with him will give you everything that you need. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.